He got a rerun. Okay. Northampton Kollel, Shir given on Sunday, 21st of November 2010, which is Yud Dalet Kislev Tovshin Ein Aleph. I'd like to give this Shir the Ilu Nishmas, my grandmother, my father's mother, whose Yom Tov was on Friday. Moras Sprints Bas Reb Alexander. My father's mother, who suffered from cancer for about 17 years, and carried on and worked and looked after my grandfather for all that time, etc. Quite amazing, and smiled and did everything as though nothing was a problem. I'm also in honour of your birthday. Yeah. Louis's birthday. Ben Shmonim le Gevuras. You should continue with Gevura. And you are the gibber of our kollel here. So well, it's true. It's not for you. Look at me, thousands of hours of learning are down to your zuchus. So you should carry on with gesund. Adner v'yestim shana.
And
beyond. Yeah. Okay. Let's have a look. If you have a look in the Chumash we've got, it's on page 84, and it's Parshas by Yishlach, and it's chapter Lamed Vav. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, and I've chosen what is possibly the most ignored part of the Sedra in order to really try and go into it. It's the last part of the Sedra. Yeah, one more page 84. That's it. So Vayishlach chapter Lamed Vav Pasuk Lamed Aleph, and I'll go through Pesukim in one go, and then we'll discuss what it's all about. These are the kings who ruled in the land of Edom, lifnei melach melech lifnei Yisrael, before there ever was a king ruling in Klal Yisrael. So we now have a list of kings who ruled in Edom before Klal Yisrael ever got a king for themselves. Vaymlech be'Edom, and they ruled in Edom, Bela ben Be'er. V'shem Iro, the name of his town, Dinhova. Vayomos Bola, and Bola died. Of course, Bola is just a variation on the word Bela. It's changed from Bela to Bola because of this. Nachtov, it's the same person. Vayomos Bola, Bola died, or Bela died. Vamnech Tachtov, Yovov ben Zerach Mibotzra. Yovov, the son of Zerach, and he came from Botzra. Vayomos Yovov died. Vamnech Tachtov, Chushom me Eretz HaTemoni, Chushom from the land of Temoni. Vayomos Chushom,
Yemen.
Oh, yeah, yes, probably Yemen, that's right, yeah. Vayomos Chushom died, Vamnech Tachtov, Hadad ben Bedad, Hamakeh Midyon, this man, Hadad, the son of Bedad, who smote Midyon, Bistadei Moav, in the fields of Moav. It's a bit odd. What were Midyon doing in Moav? At any rate, he smote Midyon in the fields of Moav. Veshem Iru, Avis, the name of his town was Avis. Vayomos Hadad, Hadad died. Vamnech Tachtov, Samlo Mimasrika, and Samlo, the man from Masrika, he was the next man in. He ruled instead of him. Vayomos Samlo died. Vamnech Tachtov, Shaul Merchavis Hanoho, Shaul from Merchavis Hanoho was the next king. Vayomos Shaul, Vamnech Tachtov, Baal Chonon ben Achbar, and Baal Chonon, the son of Achbar, he ruled in his place. Achbar is a mouse. This is Achbar. It's not quite the same as Achbar, but it's obviously similar. Strange name. Vayomos Lametes, Vayomos Baal Chonon ben Achbar, Vamnech Tachtov Hadar. Here are the last king, and he ruled instead of Baal Chonon ben Achbar. Vishem Iro, Po'u, the name of his town is Po'u, Vishem Ishto, and here we have the name of his wife introduced. First one with the wife's name, Mehe Tavel Basmatrid. Bas Mezav, this has got to be the strange thing of all. Mehitavel, the daughter of Matreid, whatever that means. And also Bas Mezav, the daughter of Mezav.
Looks like she's.
Well, why say who his wife is? And it looks as though she's got two fathers. Bas Matreid, Bas Mezav. It looks as though she's got two fathers. Whether they're male names or female names, we'll get to it, we'll see it, okay? This is really, it's such a strange parasha. Why are we so interested? Why does it take such prominent place in the Torah? Who cares about the kings of Edom? Really not interested.
Why should there be two fathers? It mentions the father and the grandfather.
Let's see if his grandparents could be grandparents. We'll see.
It's quite overlooked because who cares?
It's not really overlooked. Let me start by giving you a chart. I've made this little chart, very simple chart, just so you've got it tabulated to see who's who. Just gives you a list of all the names, eight of them, eight kings there, and it gives you you've got the column for the name, a column for the place, and a column for notes. So you can see number 7, Chanon ben Achbar, doesn't seem to have a place. Alright? It just says his name is Chanon. He's Baal Chanon. Baal Chanon means the master of Chanon. Looks like the name of the place. Ben Achbar, son of Achbar. But we're not actually. Is it a name of a place, or is it the name of the person who sits in Machlokus? And we also see that we've got a few notes there. We've got some detail on Hadad ben Bedad, Hamakeh es Midyon, king number 4, he smote Midyon, and king number 8, another detail on him, in that we've got the name of his wife. So we need to look into these, into this parasha, what it's all about. So the first thing to note is to introduce with the words of Rabbi Cooper, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who told me many years ago that he said, when it comes to the Kedusha of the Torah, Kedusha of Pesukim in the Torah, there is no difference in Kedusha between very high profile Pesukim, like a high profile Pesuk like Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, or a high profile Pesuk like Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzivcha Me'etz Mitzrayim. These are big, I suppose you could call them famous Pesukim, high profile Pesuk like that. And the Pesukim which deal with the family of Esav at the end of Vayishlach. So Rabbi Kippur said to me, there's no difference. The Torah is the Torah is the Torah, and a Pesuk which details Esav's family is just as important to us as a Pesuk like Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's what Rabbi Kippur told me many years ago, and when I was preparing this year, I thought, that'll make a very important part of the introduction to this year. And then I couldn't believe my eyes. I found this exact thing brought in Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai on these Pesukim says exactly this, and he quotes it from the Rambam, and the Rambam is brought in the Hakdomo of the Rambam to Perek Chelek, which is a Perek in Sanhedrin, and it's in Hayesod Hashmini, the eighth Yesod of the Rambam there. And the Rabbeinu Bachai quotes it from the Rambam, and of course I first heard it from Rabbi Cooper. And I cried and I saw it. Cause I thought Sir Rabbi Cooper was saying hello to me. This came so I heard from Rabbi Cooper, and it really touched me. Okay. Yeah, a bit more of an introduction. First of all, Rashi at the beginning of Vayeshev, this week's schedule now. Rashi at the beginning of Vayeshev tells us that Vayishlach finishes with all the details of Esau's family. All details of Esau's family, we get them out of the way, and then we concentrate on Yaakov. And there's a moshel of the fellow who's sifting through the sand to find a lost jewel, and then once he finds it, he chucks out all the rubbish, all the sand, doesn't he? And it's just that, and he's only interested in the jewel. Likewise, we're really interested in Yaakov and Yaakov's family, and therefore we quickly polish off Esav and Esav's details at the end of Vayishlach. A bit more of an introduction from Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai explains that we have here eight kings. We've got a list of eight kings here. And why was Esav Zoche to have eight kings? So Rabbeinu Bachai explains that at the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, you can actually count through it, and he lists all the Pesukim.
They descended from Esav.
They are all descended from Esav, absolutely. It's another thing Rabbeinu Bachai says. They came from Esav. And Rabbeinu Bachai is at pains to point out that at the beginning of the Parsha of Vayishlach, Yaakov calls Esav Adoni, my master. And he does so 8 times. You can count through the Pesukim. Rabbeinu Bachai lists them all, and I checked through them. There are 8 of them all together, and Rabbeinu Bachai says, and Baal HaTurim brings this as well, 8 kings, because Yaakov called him Adoni, my master, 8 times.
They parallel the 8 kings from Israel until the time when they lost faith with Hashem, and then Esau another king.
Absolutely, spot on. We'll come to that. Rashi brings it. B'diuk, exactly as you say. We'll come to it. There are 8 kings in Klal Yisrael corresponding to the 8 kings of Edom. Exactly right. Rashi brings it. Oh. A bit more, still for a minute, is an introduction from Rabbeinu Bachai. He points out that He says these pasukim, and I quote, they are umdim berumo shalolam. They stand at the very highest part of the world. He says we may not understand them exactly, but they stand at the highest part of the world, even if they are a little bit of a mystery to us. Why they form part of the Torah, and that I'll quickly do a quick diversion to the Yalkut Miam Lewis, who added in. He says that over here, the Yalkut Miam Lewis brings is a minhag to recite these pasukim on Shavuos night. About these eight kings, minhag to recite it on Shavuos night, and he says we do so on Shavuos night, even though we don't really understand the pasukim, and even though we don't understand why we do them, we still do it. He says, and when you do, don't miss out a single letter; it's all vital to the Torah. And then he says that in the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai expounded on this parasha of these eight kings. He expounded to his son, Rabbi Lozabin, 300 Torah secrets based on these pasukim of these eight kings. What are they? I have no idea, and the Alkem Emes doesn't bring them. But so I just say that even though, and the Alkem Emes says, even though we don't really understand the parasha, you should know it contains a vast amount of Torah about these eight kings. Back to Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai says, he points out, as you said, Johnny, that they were all came from Esau. Yeah. These kings all came from Esau, and they were all tremendous Rishoyim. And he says they were all over the Zora, and they all indulged in Zunus, and they were awful people. And that's another, by way of an introduction. And another introduction that Rabbeinu Bachai says is that we have Midrashim which say that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Olam Hazeh, he created other worlds first. I don't know how many, and I don't know how long they lasted, but he created other worlds all based on Midas Hadin only. And It seems not, because they didn't last long. It seems not. Physical world, that's taking that pshat, a simple pshat. I mean, however simple we can understand about HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating worlds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created other worlds prior to this one. They were created on the lines of Midas Hadin only, and therefore they did not survive. Couldn't survive on this idea.
Creatures and mammals, they're from previous worlds, probably.
Oh, I doubt it, because they're in Olam Hazeh. They find these fossils in Olam Hazeh. We're talking about things that don't belong to Olam Hazeh. Other worlds, completely other. We have no idea. We've got no idea what they look like. We've got no idea. We've got no idea what they look like. Who says that they're spherical or had a solar system? I have no idea. But anyway, there were other worlds that were created, and they existed on the lines of Midas Hadin only, and therefore they did not survive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, and Masah, with a combination of Midas Hadin and Midas HaRachmim, that if we sin, we can still have a Tutushav, and we find Rachmanas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore this world has a Kiyum. This world can survive. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, these eight kings are a remez to those other worlds that Hashem made. He made these other worlds, they didn't survive like these eight kings. Edom flourished. At this time in history, they flourished. They had eight kings. Wonderful, they flourished. But they didn't last long. And therefore, and they came, these eight kings came to an end, and then Klal Yisrael, and then it was the turn of Klal Yisrael to flourish. As the Pasuk says, Eina Melachim Hashem Molchu Be'etz Edom Lifnei Melach Melech, before Jews ever had a king. Before the Yidden had a king, Edom had kings. So Edom flourished with their eight kings, but we flourish all the more afterwards with our kings. And therefore, it's a remez, if you like, to the times of Hashem creating these other worlds, which had no kiyum, like these kings of Edom had no kiyum. And then afterwards, we have Olam Hazeh, which has a kiyum. And after these eight kings, then Klal Yisrael had their kings. As such a whopping chiddush, you can't say that without a proof, right? I mean, Poshup Shalti, they ruled in Edom, they ruled in Edom, and part of Olam Hazeh, for sure. Let's see. And that's really Rabbeinu Bachai's
after these introduction. Kings, there were no more kings in Edom.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. There actually were, but we'll see.
There were territories, there were districts, so they weren't kings, they were chiefs.
Which come later on in this Ezra.
There were no kings anymore, just other. They were split up into provinces.
I'm actually not sure if the Alufim listed at the end of Aishlach came before the kings or after the kings.
The Babish River, the Esam fell, Esav fell, and there were never any kings anymore. They were just tribal chiefs, and
yeah.
Of districts.
Right.
And there wasn't a country anymore, just districts.
These are
the
tribal chiefs. Yeah.
No, these
are
the kings.
We're the only kings. These are kings. Yeah.
Followed by tribal chiefs. The Aluf.
But there were kings again later, which we'll learn about. There were kings again later. Okay. Good. Okay, so let's have a look at Pasuk Lamed Aleph. For Eil Hamalachim Hashem Olchu, these are the kings who ruled Eretz Edom in the land of Edom. Lifnei Melach Melech Livnei Yisrael, before there ever was a king in Klal Yisrael. So the burning question is, what period of history are we talking? So Rashi explains that we're talking the fact that these Edomite kings, they ruled before there ever was a king of Klal Yisrael. Who was the first king of Klal Yisrael? Shaul Hamelech. So, in other words, that these kings flourished and came to an end before the time of Shaul. And Rashi explains, we have a pasuk to prove this, and that's a pasuk in... Oh, where's it gone? Yeah, a pasuk in Melachim Beis. Yeah, pasuk in Melachim Beis, chapter Beis. Sorry. Melachim Beis, chapter Ches. That's fine. Melachim Beis, chapter Ches. And it's Pasuk Kaf. Menachem Beis, I'll just find it here. Menachem Beis. Oh, my bookmarks. Yeah. No. Chapter Ches. Menachem Beis, Chapter Ches, Pasuk Kaf. Pasuk 20. Pasuk says, Beyomov, in his days, Posha Edom. Edom rebelled. Mitachas Yad Yehuda, from under the hand of Yehuda. Vayam Michaleim Melech. And they appointed a king over themselves. Now, whose days are we talking about? We're talking about King Yehoram, who was one of the kings descended from David HaMelech. So it was in the time of Yehoram that Edom rebelled against Klal Yisrael. I mean, Klal Yisrael had held Edom in check and had pretty much good control over Edom right up until the time of Yehoram. And during the times of Yehoram, they rebelled and they appointed a king over themselves. Says Rashi on our pasuk, what's the significance of Yehoram? So it says, as you said, Louis, that Yehoram was king number 9 for Klal Yisrael, counting from Shaul. So we have kings of Klal Yisrael, counting from Shaul, we have Shaul, his son Ishbosheth, followed by Shaul's son-in-law David, and then it follows children, son after that. From David, we have Shlomo, Rechavam, Avia, Asa, and Yehoshaphat. And Yehoram is the son of Yehoshaphat, and he's king number 9. So, corresponding to these 8 Edomite kings, we have 8 kings of Klal Yisrael who flourished. And then in the reign of the 9th king, Yehoram, that is when Edom rebelled against Klal Yisrael and appointed a king over themselves. We have this is really confirmed by another pasuk. It's in Melachim Aleph, and it's chapter Taf Beis Pasuk Mem Ches, where the pasuk says, "Umelech ein be'Edom." There was no king in Edom. Umelech ein be'Edom. That's important. Umelech ein be'Edom. There was no king in Edom, and we're talking here, I believe, in the days of Yehoshaphat. That in the days, and that means up until the time of Yehoshaphat, who was king number 8 in this counting, he was king number 8, there was no king in Edom all right up to then. Okay? So in other words, according to Rashi on our pasuk, Rashi learns that these kings of Edom spanned from the time of Esav, or after Esav, right up until the days that Shaul became king. So we have 8 kings of Edom spanning all that time, followed by 8 kings of Klal Yisrael, starting with Shaul as number 1, finishing with Yehoshaphat number 8, And then in Yehoram's reign, king number 9, that's when Edom appointed a king over themselves. That's how Rashi learns. There's a slight discrepancy because Rashi in Melachim Beis, chapter Ches, Posuk Chaf, actually counts the kings a little bit differently. He doesn't start with Shaul as number 1. He starts with Ishbosheth as number 1. Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, is number 1. And he counts Ishbosheth, David, Shlomo, Rehavam, Aviyam, Asa, Yehoshaphat, and Yehoram. In other words, he includes Yehoram in the cheshbon of 8 Jewish kings. Although Edom really rebelled during the times of Yehoram, he starts one generation later at Ishbosheth, and he finishes one generation later at Yehoram. But so there's a slight discrepancy between Rashi in the Torah and Rashi on Melachim Beis chapter Ches Pasuk Chof. Okay, slight discrepancy there. But the fact is, according to Rashi, these 8 kings spanned from the times of Esav right up until the times of Shaul HaMelech. Now, there's a whopping kasher on that, because it seems that the Chumash is therefore giving a nevuah. What will happen? Don't forget, the Torah was written down by Moshe, dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of Moshe's life. And the Torah is writing here in Vayishlach that all the kings that are going to happen hundreds of years later. Yeah? Hundreds of years later. How can that be? That is really not... That's not the style of the Torah, to write a nevuah of what's going as such clear nevuahs with names and places and happenings. Very unlikely that the Torah is giving a nevuah so far in advance.
These 8 kings, the rule of these 8 kings, would be in the distant future.
Yes, very much distant future. Going right up until the time of Shaul. Yeah, implying that the last king, whose name is Hadar, ruled around the time of Shaul HaMelech. With their names and their places and all the details. It's a nevuah, and therefore it's very, very strange. How can this be? This is a big kasher on Rashi, and based on this, the Ramban disagrees, and the Ramban says, no, these kings didn't go all the way up until Lifnei Melach Melech Lifnei Yisrael, not right up until the time that Shaul became king. They did rule, Edomite kings ruled, before we ever had a king. But before we ever had a king doesn't mean you've got to go up until the last moment before we had a king, i.e. till the time of Shaul. Rather, says the Ramban, these 8 kings ruled up until the time of Moshe, of Moshe's death, which is the time when the Torah was written. The Torah, in other words, the Torah is not prophesying who these kings will be hundreds of years in advance. No. These kings ruled in Edom up until the time of Moshe's death, which is the time that the Torah was written. The Pasuk says, Lifnei Melach Melech Livnei Yisrael, that they ruled before we ever had a king. It's true. They ruled before we ever had a king. We didn't get a king till Shaul. But it doesn't mean that they ruled right up until the last possible moment before we ever had a king before Shaul. No, they ruled before we ever had kings. We only had kings at the time of Shaul. Edom had kings before that, but much before that. And these Edomite kings came to an end. The last one, Hadar, would have been ruling at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the time when the Torah was given. And that ties in very nicely with the pasuk about Hadar. You'll notice all the first 7 kings, their death is recorded.
This is why Hashem offering the Torah. and the king and Edom said no.
Yeah, they said no.
Yes. That's the end of them.
Okay, yeah, but that doesn't necessarily have to correlate to their having kings or not having kings.
Yeah, but it would tie in nicely. If it was the last king, it was the time of the Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was that time Hashem offered the Torah.
Yeah,
and he said no, and it was finished.
Could be. But it ties in very nicely with the fact that in the last king, whose name is Hadar, his death is not recorded. So there are some who learn, yeah, all of them, the first 7, their deaths are recorded. Number 8, his death is not recorded. Why not? Because at the time that the Torah was written, he was still alive. So therefore his death is not recorded. Yeah? Oh, so that ties in very nicely. That's how the Ramban learns. We've got Machlokes Rashi. Rashi learns it goes right up until the time of Shaul, and Ramban learns it goes up to the time of the death of Moshe, corresponding to the time that the Torah is written. The Ibn Ezra disagrees with both of them. The Ibn Ezra says, first of all, the Ibn Ezra quotes a sefer in the name written by someone whom he calls Yitzchok, but this man Yitzchok, he says, is Yitzchok Hamabil. He gives him this title, Yitzchok Hamabil. That means Yitzchok who creates rubbish. Says the Ibn Ezra, there's a sefer written by someone called Yitzchok, and he says the sefer has apikorsis, and it should be burnt. And his name is Yitzchok, and he says Ibn Ezra, Kol Hashemea Yitzchak Lo. He's like paraphrasing the Pasuk Kol Hashemea. Whoever hears about this man Yitzchok should laugh at him, because his sefer that he wrote is full of apikorsis. What does this Yitzchok write? Ibn Ezra quotes it, so I'll quote it. This Yitzchok says that this section of the Torah indeed goes right up until the time of, it gives prophecies up to the time of Yehoshaphat. This part of the Torah was written during the time of Yehoshaphat and was inserted into the Torah at a much later date. Well, that goes pure apikorsis, because we believe the Torah was written in completeness, absolutely, by Moshe, dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing missing, nothing taken away, nothing added, you know, like shredded wheat, nothing added, nothing taken away, all from the Torah, absolutely, from Har Sinai. Yeah, and Ibn Ezra quotes this philosopher, or whoever he is, that it was added at a later time. Says Ibn Ezra, no way, it's apikorsis, the sefer should be burnt, doesn't belong. Says Ibn Ezra, these kings ruled in Edom, lifnei melech melech lifnei Yisrael, before they ever had a king of Bnei Yisrael. Says Ibn Ezra, who is the first king of Klal Yisrael? Says Ibn Ezra, it was Moshe Rabbeinu. Aha, not Shaul, at the way, which is the way Rashi learns. The first king of Klal Yisrael, says Ibn Ezra, is Moshe Rabbeinu. He was a leader. He had the position of a king, and he was a king. Says Ibn Ezra, it's a Mefurish Pasuk. It's a Pasuk. The Pasuk is written in the beginning of Vezos HaBracha. Vayhi v'shurin melech, v'sasef rosh hayom. Vayhi v'shurin melech, says Ibn Ezra, Vayhi v'shurin melech, v'sasef rosh hayom. Where's the Pasuk? I should have jotted it down. Yeah, here we are. Yeah. Devarim chapter Lamed Gimel Pasuk Hei Vayhi v'shurin melech, and there was a king over Yeshurun, i.e. on the Klal Yisrael, v'sasef rosh hayom, when the heads of the people were gathered together. Says the Ibn Ezra, on that Pasuk, who is this melech? It's Moshe. Rashi on that Pasuk says, who's the melech? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This machlokas goes to Shitosam. Rashi here learns the first melech is Shaul, and who's the melech there? Vayhi v'shurin melech is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ibn Ezra here learns, no, who's the first melech? It's Moshe. And Vayhi v'shurin melech, says Ibn Ezra, is Moshe. So they go to Shitosam. So the Ibn Ezra learns, there's no nevuah here. We're not prophesying for thousands or hundreds of years in advance. No, the Torah was written by Moshe, dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was the first melech, and up until that time, we had all these Edomite kings. Yeah. One other small point brought by the Ramban on this is, don't forget, he learns it goes up to the time of Moshe's death, and he says, that's actually not such a long time. And I can't remember, I believe he brings the number of years. How could you have so many kings? Yeah, here we are. So many kings in such a relatively short amount of time. So there's eight kings in a relatively short amount of time. So the Ramban answers that. He says, well, they became king when they were very old, and so they didn't reign very long, and hence he had many of them. There were eight of them in such a short amount of time. The Ramban who learns it goes up to the time of the death of Moshe.
The death of Moshe is the best explanation.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's I'm not going to say best. You're entering into Machlekes Rashi, Ramban, and Ibn Ezra, so I'm not going to vote for any of them. But it's a clear Machlekes as to what period of time we're talking. Yeah, the Sifrei Chachamim points out is that we have these eight Edomite kings, Lifnei Melech Melech Livnei Yisrael, before there ever was a king for Klal Yisrael. Why? Edom flourished before Klal Yisrael flourished. Once Klal Yisrael flourished, when we had our Melech, then Edom went into descent. In other words, who's in ascendancy? Either Klal Yisrael or Edom, but not both simultaneously. Why? Pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Toldos, it's in chapter Kaf Hei, Pasuk Kaf Gimel, Ula'um Mila'um Yermots. when Rivka was told that he's going to have twins, and there's going to the power will constantly shift from one to the other, but they won't both be powerful simultaneously. And that's what we have here. We have 8 Edomite kings before Klal Yisrael ever had a king. Once Klal Yisrael get kings, then Edom stopped having kings, as we saw in that pasuk, that Edom stopped having king, and then Edom then later on would be able to get kings later on in the times of Yehoram.
If Moshe Rabbeinu was a king, who was the king after him? Yeshua?
I don't know. Ibn Ezra doesn't say Yeshua, the din of Melech.
It must be a pause then until Shua.
Yeah. I must give one small credit, a big credit really, to a young man by the name of Reb Nechemya Scheinfeld, who's a balabos living in Golders Green. He's got boys in our school in Powder's House. And he has recently, just now, published a sefer. He's a balabos, and he's published a sefer on the Ibn Ezra on the whole of Sefer Bereishis. Quite remarkable. And apparently he's now working on Shemos. I found this Ibn Ezra very, very hard to understand. And thanks to Reb Nechemya's sefer, he really explained the Ibn Ezra very clearly. And thanks to him, I understood that he's Ibn Ezra. He's just published it. Yeah, Reb Nechemya Scheinfeld. He's a balabos, and he's a businessman. On the whole Sefer Bereishis. He's just published it. It's probably a few weeks ago, a month ago. Yeah. Oh boy. Oh yes. Yeah. And one of the rabbis in school said to me, he says, Reb Nechemya's, he's machayev all of us. He's putting us all to shame. He's a balabos, and he's published this amazing sefer. And it really is beautifully explained. Good. Okay. So there we are. That's Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Let's move on to Pasuk Lamed Beis. Yeah. That's the. Okay, Lamed Beis. Vaymlech be'Edom. Say we go with the first king. Vaymlech be'Edom. They ruled in Edom. Bela ben Be'er. Bela the son of Be'er. V'shem Iro. And the name of his town was Din Hovo. Now. Bela. Jonathan, you should make a Kiddush. You should sponsor a Kiddush. I'm telling you, you are Mechavim to a Pshat brought by one of the Rishonim. His name is Rabbeinu Meyuchos. Rabbeinu Meyuchas says, who is this Bela ben Be'er? Is none other than Bilam ben Be'er. Yeah, it's almost the same name, Bilam ben Be'er. That's how Rabbeinu Meyuchas learns. And And by the way, I couldn't find this sefer Rabbeinu Meyuchas. I saw it quoted. I wanted to see it inside, and I found it on HebrewBooks.org, which is an amazing website which has got, I don't know, they must have thousands, access to thousands of Sfarim. They've just scanned in thousands of Sfarim there. HebrewBooks.org, and there it is. I found it on that, in that, on that website.
Bilam wasn't a descendant of
Esau. So Louis says that Bilam was not, Bilam can't be, Bela can't be Bilam, because Bilam was not a descendant of Esau, while this Bela clearly is. Oh, before we come on to that, let me just back up Jonathan's pshat from Rabbeinu Meyuchas, namely that Bela ben Be'er is synonymous with Bilam ben Be'er, and that is a beautiful thought which is brought by, I saw it in the Shari Aaron, and I think he brings it in the name of the sefer called Seichel Tov, which I haven't seen inside, where he says, look at this, but this man Bela ben Be'er, v'shem Iro, the name of his town was Din Hovo. Now, what do we know about Bilam? Well, the Gemara, I believe it's Gemara in Soto, and if not, it's at least a Medrash somewhere, that Paro had three advisors. Paro in Mitzrayim had three advisors. Bilam, Yisro, and Eov. Thank you. Yeah. And he said, what should we do? That's it. And Bilam said, no, enslave them. Bilam advised Paro, enslave Klal Yisrael. Yisro said, no, don't enslave Klal Yisrael, and Eov remained silent. Oh, so according to the pshat that Bela ben Be'er is the same as Bilam ben Be'er, it goes beautifully, because we know that Bilam advised Paro, and look at this, v'shem Iro, the name of his town was Din Hova. Paro said, Hova nischak molo, beginning of Pasha Shmos. Come, let's deal cunningly with the Yidden. Havon is Chakmano. So the Sefer Seichel Tov says to confirm the Pshat of Rabbeinu Meyuchas that Bilam is the same as Bela, Din Havon is din, the din, the law should be hava nischakmalo, din hava. So that ties in beautifully that Bela ben Be'er is the same as Bela ben Be'er, same as Bilam ben Be'er. However, it's come on to Louis' kasha on this. Louis asked the kasha of the Ibn Ezra. So you've got to share the cost of the Kiddush, right? So it says that Ibn Ezra, it cannot be. It cannot be that Bela ben Be'er is the same as Bilam ben Be'er, because as we know, Bilam ben Be'er came from Aram. How do we know that? From a pasuk in Parshas Balak, chapter Kaf Gimel, pasuk Zayin, where Bilam says, Min Aram Yamcheni. He leads me from Aram. So Bilam came from Aram. Aram is Syria, which is northeast of Eretz Israel. Yeah? So we know that Bilam came from Aram. Therefore, it cannot be if that Bela, who's clearly from Edom, it cannot be that Bela came from Aram. Therefore, Bela cannot be synonymous with Bilam. This is the Ibn Ezra's Kasha against. Against Rabbi Yochas.
Arguing this myself, I also read that Edom didn't merit to have kings, and others came as kings of Edom. So Bilam could have been king of Edom, but he wasn't a descendant of Esau.
Thank you. I'd forgotten this. I believe I saw this in the Medrash Rabbah, that these kings actually were foreign kings. I should point out, Rabbeinu Bachai says they all were descended from Esav. But there is a Medrash Rabbah on this, which says that they were all came from different places, and we can see they all come from different places, and that they were not genuine Edomites. But I'm not sure, I don't fully understand that. Maybe it's a bit of a machlokas.
Esav didn't merit to have kings, because their behavior so the lineage was so bad, and so they had others.
Yeah. Would you just say again why this is not Bilam ben
Be'er? Can't be Bilam ben Be'er, says Ibn Ezra, disagreeing with you. And with Rabbeinu Yochus, because Bilam came from Aram, which is northeast of Eretz Yisrael. It's Syria. It's modern day Syria. Oh, yeah. And how do you know that Bilam came from Aram? Because the pasuk Min Aram Yamcheni. Bilam said this. Min Aram Yamcheni. He leads me from Aram. He came from Aram, and therefore it cannot be that he's from Edom, because Edom is south of Eretz Yisrael. So Aram is northeast of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it can't be the same. That's how Ibn Ezra puts it.
Aram and Aram.
Aram Naharaim, yes, I think so. And Aram Naharaim means two rivers.
It's Babylonia, though.
Okay.
Between the Euphrates and the...
Pros.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the connection is between Aram and Aram Naharaim. I don't know. There are stories about the geography of the whole of the Torah.
Assyria rather than Syria. Assyria.
Ashur,
which is a difference to Syria.
It is.
It's not modern day Syria.
It's a very, very small area.
What, Syria? Assyria.
Assyria.
I think it's just south of Turkey, I think.
It's a very, very small area, and they expanded all over the Middle East.
It's the border between Turkey and Syria. Because Syria is under Turkey.
Another important medrash. The medrash points out that all these kings came from different places, and there was no. It's in contrast to the Malchus David, which is clearly a family dynasty. Here, there's no family dynasty at all. They're all different kings. They all come from different places. The Ramban also points out, as I should have said earlier, the Ramban says that this parasha is to show us the kiyum of Yitzchak's bracha to Esav, the Al-Char B'Chosichia, you live by the sword. Hence they flourished. They flourished for a while, the Al-Char B'Chosichia, they flourished. I found on a website that this place, Din Hava, apparently quoting from a Sefer, from a reliable Sefer, is possibly Carthage, which you know was invaded by the Phoenicians later.
Tripoli, isn't it?
Tripoli. North Africa.
North Africa, yes.
So, okay. No, I don't know. Okay, let's move on. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayomos Bola. Bola or Bela died. Vamnuch Tachtov Yovov ben Zerach mi Botzra. Yovov, the son of Zerach, from Botzra. Okay, so the first thing to discuss is where on earth is Botzra? Yeah? So, Sabe Izzi said to me years ago, he says that he read somewhere that Botzra is modern day Basra. Which is just on the Gulf of...
It's a familiar name.
Yeah, it was in the news all the time. All the time.
Iraq.
Iraq.
Yeah,
it's by the Persian Gulf, isn't it?
It's Iraq, Iran. That's what
somebody told me. Yeah. But Rashi here brings that Botzra, he quotes the Pasuk, he says that Botzra is within Moav. And he quotes the Pasuk from Yirmiyahu chapter Memches. And it's Pasuk Kaf Dalet. Let me show you the Pasuk. Yirmiyahu chapter Memches, Pasuk Kaf Dalet, which deals with the destruction of Moav. Pasuk Kaf Memches, Kaf Dalet. Here. Va'al Krios, and over Krios, another place, I think it means. Va'al Botzra, Va'al Kol. Va'al kol orei eretz Moav, and over all the cities of the land of Moav, harachokos harakrovos, the new ones, the far ones. So, Botzra is coupled with Moav. Says Rashi, Botzra is within Moav. Okay? That's how Rashi learns it. However, and he says that because Moav supplied a king for Edom, therefore, Moav will meet their eventual destruction. And he quotes the Pasuk in Yeshaya, and it's chapter Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Vov, which talks about the Churban of Moav and Edom together. So it's, Yeshaya chapter Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Vov, which says, Ki zevach l'Hashem bevotzra. There's going to be a massacre by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Botzra. V'tevach gadol, and likewise a great massacre, the Eretz Edom, in the land of Edom. Says Rashi, what do we learn from here? We learn that Botzra will suffer their eventual downfall, together with Edom. Why? Because they supplied a king for Edom. Once they supplied a king for Edom. And this is very much backed up with the Medrash Rabbah, which brings a moshel of a king who falls out with someone. He falls out with Reuven. And someone comes along and says to Reuven, I'll help you out, and he supports Reuven, and he gives him money, and he gives him food, whereupon the king says, right, previously my main machlokes was with Reuven. I'm not arguing with Reuven anymore. I'm now going to argue with the man who's helping Reuven, because I'm furious with the man who's helping Reuven. My having fallen out with Reuven, this man has no right to help Reuven. Says the Medrash Rabbah, this is what's happened here. We have Vayomos Bola. Bela died, and he came from Edom. So, to all intents and purposes, once with the death of Bela, that's going to be the end of Edom, because their king is gone. And what happens? Vayimlech Tachtov Yevav Ben Zerach Mibotzra, and Edom is rescued by a man who's come from Botzra. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right, now I'm going to go gunning for Botzra, because they've helped Edom out. So that goes very well together with that pasuk. However, the Rambam disagrees with Rashi, and the Rambam learns that Botzra is in Edom, not in Moav, but in Edom. And the Ramban quotes, have I got a pasuk here? Yes. The Ramban quotes a pasuk from Yeshaya, chapter Samach Gimel, pasuk Aleph, which says, Mizeh bo me Edom, chamutz begodim mi Botzra. So, who's this who's come from Edom, who's come mi Botzra, from Botzra? Says the Ramban, there's a proof that Botzra is in Edom, and not in Moav. Yeah. So, got a machlokes, Rashi and Ramban, where Botzra is. According to Rashi, it's in Moav, and according to Ramban, it's in Edom. And they're both being stuck to support their arguments.
At that time, Edom was, perhaps at the time, the two places were synonymous.
That I haven't seen, but I'll tell you what I did do. I looked for a good source of maps. I looked through the Sefer of Rabbi Kaplan, the Living Torah, which is a translation of Chumash, which is an unbelievable work. Yeah, his grandson, Simcha Morris, who was a boy in Pana's house, told me that it took him only a year to write, and it's just incredible work of not just of being a Talmud Chacham, but also being a Chacham in all sorts of secular knowledge, because he goes into the maps and all the different animals in the Torah and all the technical issues. He said it took him a year to write it. Unbelievable. Anyway. In the Living Torah, there are maps there, drawn by the Rabbi Kaplan, and I had to look to see if I could find any maps to show me where Botsra is. And I found a map, and there it was. There was Botsra on a map, clearly in Moab. Like Rashi. But, on the same map, there was also another place, also called Botsra, in Edom. So in fact, there are two towns, like the Ramban. So there are two towns called Botsra, one in Moab, one in Edom. So that's the Rashi and the Ramban. Sorry, you go ahead.
I'm saying Moab, I thought was Jordan, present day Jordan.
Yes, I think it is. Yeah, east of the Yamamah.
It's Jordan.
Yeah, east of the Yamamah. Yeah. Okay.
Edom would be Rome, would it? Edom? Is that Rome?
Edom is Rome.
Rome.
Yes. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So. According to Saba Izzy, he says Botsra is in southern Iraq.
Yeah.
Is that like a third location?
I don't know. Yeah. It could be. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Because the last pasuk of Yeshev talks about Magdiel.
Magdiel.
And if you take the Goisha of Mary Magdalene, the word comes straight from Magdiel.
Was she connected to Edom?
There was a Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, but is she from Edom?
But she was the mother of Yoshki.
Oh.
Magdiel.
Oh, so
Magdalene. The Goyim took the word Magdiel and took Magdalene. It's synonymous. So here we say, and Rashi says, and Magdiel is Rome.
She was Jewish born. Yeah.
Yes, the Goyim called her Mary of Magdalene.
From Magdiel.
Yoshi's mother.
Rashi and Magdiel, he Rumi.
Yeah, this is Rum.
Now the Ibn Ezra on Yovov, have we done? Yeah, Yovov ben Zerach, Mibotza. The Ibn Ezra says, quotes this Yitzchok Hamabil, Yitzchok, the man who creates rubbish, who said that Yovov is the same person as Eov. And Ibn Ezra rips him apart, doesn't mince his words, and says it's rubbish, cannot possibly be Eov. And he says, in any case, this man, Yitzchok, he's falsified the whole generations there, and he says he makes it all up. Yeah. He's made up all these generations, and he learns it was inserted into the Torah at a later date. So he's very much goes against that. Now, I saw Kasha on a website, and I can't remember which website it was, quoting a Chasam Sofer. A Chasam Sofer, and I didn't see an answer, but it's a gorgeous Kasha. Here we have Yovov ben Zerach. How, if Zerach is an Edomite name, or at least a name that doesn't come out with flying colours in the Torah, because after all these kings were not good kings, Yovov ben Zerach, how can it be that later Yehuda, in this week's Sefer, Parshas Vayeshev, Yehuda calls one of his two sons Zerach? Yeah? How can that be? So there's a bit of a kasha, apparently it's a kasha brought in the name of the Chasam Sofer. How could Yehuda call his son Zerach? Likewise, earlier on in Parshas Vayishlach, one of the descendants of Esav is a man called Korach. Here he is, it's in chapter Lamed Vav, Pasuk Yurches, Aluf Korach. So how could Korach ben Yitzhar, as in our Korach, how could his father Yitzhar call his own son Korach when it was clearly one of the sons of one of the Mishpach of Esav? You wouldn't call your son Antiochus or Paran. And likewise, later on, one of the kings is called Shaul Merichoves Hanoharm. It's king number 6. How could he?
It's just a custom to call
him. Yeah, but it's unusual.
Into the
why we don't name after Rishoy.
No.
Yeah. Now Yitzhar. Kohar,
yeah.
the father of yeah. Korach in the Torah, he named his son Korach. Well, why did he do that? That's odd, yeah? And why did, and Shaul, maybe the kasha is even bigger on Shaul ben Kish, yeah? yeah? Shaul, our Shaul HaMelech, his father was Kish, who was a big tzaddik, yeah? How could Kish call his son Shaul when here we have an Edomite king called Shaul Merchoves HaNohor? Yeah, why would he do a thing like that? So that's a kasha. I didn't see any turtsim.
Perhaps it's a correction.
To be Mesagam
in him.
Maybe it didn't work
for Kerach.
No.
It's a nice but he was a great man.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
we're talking about Lashon Kodesh, and all these word names, Zerach is light, isn't it?
Yeah. Zerach is light, yeah.
So you can't say that it's a bad name for a person.
Yeah.
And here, the other one was a bad light, and here we've got a good light.
Yeah. Let me say that two. Small
he misused the name, but it's a good name in itself.
Yeah.
Just so and so misused it.
The kings of Edom and the kings of Israel. So it's a Shaul and Shaul. Why not?
So maybe rectify the mistake.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. Could be. Could be. But thank you for not calling either of your two boys Paro, even though you want to be Masak in the world. That's true. Or you could have gone for Homon if you wanted to be Masak in Homon.
Yeah. There's a lot of Jewish Matthews around, you find. Matthew. Not Matthew. Oh, quite really? A lot of Jewish people. Yeah, yeah. And I find it very strange.
Yeah,
it's one of the apostles was
yeah,
Matthew.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's strange, yeah.
Not Matthew.
What's the show? Well, we're...
But Matthew is off the apostle, was yeah. Matthew.
That was a covered
Alexander.
Sure, but that's even more of a question, because it's not a Jewish origin.
Yeah, yeah.
Matthew is a Jewish origin.
My great grandfather was from Alexander.
Jewish
origin. Yeah. Okay. Of course. Do you remember his full name? Alexander.
His real name was Alexander.
Yeah. Alexander, yeah.
Alexander.
Yeah, yeah.
Was the middle
Lechaim, Ben Chaim Tov. I think so.
Chaim Tov Ben Alexander.
Yeah.
Mr. Rothstein had a.
Avram Abba Ben Avram.
He had that. Isaac.
Victor Isaac Ben Avram Abba.
Yeah.
Victor Isaac. Avram Abba is your father in law, so. Yeah.
Mr.
Cosman. Yeah, good. Good. Okay. Right. On to still one small thing still on the name Yovol. The Seichel Tov, Sefer Seichel Tov, quoted by the Shari Aaron, goes into all these names and gives a little explanation of the names. Yes. It says the name Yovov comes from the word Oyev, an enemy. Why? He was an enemy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, so Yovov, enemy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Zerach, Yovov ben Zerach, because he brought light to the Malchus HaRasha'ah. In other words, he helped the Malchus, the Edomites, the kingdoms to flourish. And one last thing, and I saw this in the dates are given actually by the Sefer HaYoshar, and I saw it quoted in the Living Torah by Rabbi Kaplan, and also on a website, and the dates are given for Yovov as being from the year 2288 to the year 2298, a 10-year rule. So how does that? So that will 244. Yeah, so that's still, of course, long before you test me sign. Okay, let's move on, yeah? Prosuk Lamed Dalet. Vayomos Yovov, Yovov died, Vaymnoch Tachtov Chusham Ne'et HaTemoni, Chusham from the land of Temon. Oh, so the Sefer Seichel Tov explains that Chusham is a contraction of two words, Chosh Shom, he hurried there. What does that mean? That as soon as he saw his chance to become king, that's it, he rushed in and took over the job. Yeah? As being king, Chosh Shom, he hurried there. Now, Temon, what is this place Temon? So the Targum on this pasuk translates Temon as Me'ara Doroma, from a southern land.
Yemen.
That's it, yeah. Yemen is often is Temon, yeah. But the Targum translates it as Ara Doroma, a southern land. What does it mean? What's the connection between the word Temon and south? The connection is explained by the Radak. He says, the direction that a person would try to face, or human beings face generally, or, no, I've said that wrong, let's try that again. If a human being is going to face any one compass direction, it would be towards the east. Why? I guess, my own guess, because the sun rises in the east, so you're looking forward and hope, new day, that sort of thing. So facing towards the east, we daven towards the east for sure, but we facing towards the east is a human being's natural direction towards the east. Says the Radak, if you face east, then south will be on your right hand side. Okay? You got the west behind you, you got the north on your left, and south on your right. Says the Radak, the word Tamon comes from the word Yamin, which means the right, with a prefix of a tof. A tof is sometimes used as a prefix to a root to denote a noun. Like you take a verb like lamed mem dalet to learn, and you get the word Talmud with an additional tof at the beginning. So the word Tamon is really the word Yamin with an additional tof to denote a noun. So that's why the southern direction, south, is called Taman or Tamon, because it comes from the word Yamin, to your right. Assuming you're facing east, then south will be on your right. That's how it's
read. Yeah, the south too, southern tip.
Yeah, so south. Yeah, that's right.
They're called Timoni because of the Torah. Like Yemenite will say, I'm a Timoni.
Timoni.
See, you got it from here,
didn't you? Well, not necessarily from here, but because you often have this extra yud. Yerushalmi, yeah? Yerushalmi, and then...
Yemeni.
The Sefer Yosha quotes that this man, Chusham, died in the same, at around the same time that Don died. Don Ben Yaakov died around the same time. And
Chushim.
Yeah, that's Chushim. Oh gosh, how interesting. Chushim. Very similar, yeah. Ovenedon Chushim, yeah. Poskim Vayigash. Yeah, okay. So this is Chusham. His king is this king, that Chusham died at the same, around the same time that Don died.
His father was
sorted. His father. No. This is Chusham. But you're right in that. It's very interesting that Don had the son called Chushim.
Chushim.
Whether it was one son called Chushim or two sons is a bit of a machlokes there. It's a strange word. Pasuk of Vinei Don and the sons plural of Don were Chushim. At any rate,
Chushim, I think, was deaf and dumb.
Yes.
The whole story.
That's right.
And that's
right. He lived a very nice. He had
lots of sons. He killed Esau. Lots of children, which is to show that you start off with a disability in life. Uh-huh. Great brochas can still come from it.
Very good. Sefer Yosha gives the years of the reign of Chusham as being 2298 to 2318. Okay, good. Let's move on. Lamed Hey, yeah? Lamed Hey. Vayomos Chusham, Chusham died. Vamnech Tachtov, Hadad ben Bedad, Hamakeh es Midyon, who smote Midyon Bisadei Moav, in the field of Moav, Vashem Iro, and the name of his town was Avis. Okay, so again, I'll just quote from the Sefer Yosha. He had a reign. Who is this? Hadad ben Bedad reigns for 35 years, from 2318 to 2353, and he died at the same year that Kohos ben Levi died. Just puts into a bit of historical perspective. Also, a note from the Living Torah, from Abaya Kaplan, is that the name Hadad comes a few times in Tanakh, and is actually the name of a Syrian storm god. It's the name of Abedazor called Hadad. So a lot of them took on the name of their gods. So you had this name Hadad. Okay. Now what's going on here? The name of his town is Avis, which is interpreted by the Seichel Tov as being an expression of Ivus. Ivus Hadin means perversion of justice. Because there was so much perversion of justice going on in his reign, therefore the name of his town was Avis, related to the word Ivus, perversion. What's going on with this idea that he smote Midyon in the field of Moav? Well, let's first define what field of Moav means. Field of Moav is explained by Rabbeinu Miuchas. It's not really a field. It means the land of Moav. So why is it called Sedemov? It means an Adamov. This is explained by the Radak, and it's actually the Radak in Lech Lecha, chapter Yudalad, Pasuk Zion, which speaks about Sedeho Amaleki. In the War of the Four Kings against the Five Kings, it says they're about Sedeho Amaleki, the Amaleki field. So it means Amaleki country. Yeah? And the Radak explains that the land was had a wide expanse of flat land. When we say Sedei, Sedei Moav, Sedei Amaleki, it's a wide expanse of very flat land on which they built towns. So because it was a wide expanse of flat land, so it became known as the field, Sodeh. Yeah, even though it was not technically farmland, it was a city land.
With
so, that could well be a field. That's a proper field. Yeah. But we find here it's just the Sedei Moav, the field of Moav. It really means the country of Moav. It just refers to a large area of land which was flat. So it's called the field. Now, the Rashi explains what's going on here with Moav and Midian, what's happening. So Rashi gives us the historical perspective that Midian came to attack Moav. In a war between Midian and Moav, Midian were the aggressors and they attacked Moav. This happened long before Yetzias Mitzrayim. Midian came to attack Moav and Edom went out to the area, went to Moav to help Moav in the battle against Midian and were victorious against Midian. So here we have Edom striking Midian in Moav. Yeah? Says Rashi, we can see from here that Midian and Moav were sworn enemies, and they made shalom between themselves in the time of Bilam in order to come and to curse Klal Yisrael. So that's when Midian and Moav got together, but really they were sworn enemies of each other. That's how Rashi learns. The Ramban learns a little bit differently. The Ramban learns that Midian came to Moav in order to fight a war against Edom. Not quite the same as Rashi. Rashi learns that Midian came to fight Moav. And the Ramban learns that Midian and Moav joined forces to go and fight Edom, and then Edom was able to retaliate, and Edom was successful. So here we have Hadad ben Bedad, Hamakeh es Midian, he smote Midian, Bistadeh Moav, in the country of Moav. Good? Okay. Pasuk Lamed Vav. Vayomos Hadad, Hadad died. You can see that the word Hadad is just a pausal form of Hadad, because on the Esnachta. Vamnuch Tachtov, Samna mi Masrika, and Samla from Masrika ruled instead of him. So the Seichel Tov explains what's his name. Samla was the name of the man, and Masrika is the name of the place. He says, Masrika means to comb wool, or to card wool. Yeah? Combing wool is Surik, Samlach Reish Kuf. And that was the national profession in that place. So therefore the name of the town became Masrekah. And look at the king's name. Samla is very closely related to the word Simla, which is a garment. So he became known as a Samla, in garments, because the national profession is to comb wool. Yeah. The Sefer Yosha gives his years as being 2353 to 2371. And one other detail from the Seichel Tov, learning that Masreka is synonymous with a place called Samori. And that's mentioned in Parshas Noach. I wonder if I wrote it down here. Parshas Noach is chapter Yud, Pasuk Yud Ches. I did have it here, I think. No, I don't. Chapter Yud, Pasuk Yud Ches gets a mention of the name Samori. And apparently Seichel Tov relates the two, that Samori is the same as Masreka. Okay. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Vayomos Samla died. Vamlech Tachtov Shaul Merchaves Hanahar. Shaul from a place called Rechaves Hanahar, and his years are given that he reigned for 40 years. Nice long reign, from 2371 to 2411. Now, where is this place, Rechaves Hanahar? Rechaves Hanahar is defined. If you look in the Targum Unklus, you'll see he defines it as Merechove de al Peros, from Rechovos, which is on the Peros, on the river of Peros, Euphrates. Yeah. So, in other words, he defines this Nahar as the river Peros, not just any old river, but specifically Nahar Peros. Now, there's a big problem with this, because the Ramban learns that all these places all come from Edom. That's why the Ramban learned that Bozrah is within Edom. And here we're seeing that this the Rechavos HaNahar is the Rechavos on the River Pros. Now the River Pros is way east.
Iraq.
It's Iraq, absolutely. I did actually bring a map. Maybe it's here. It's way east of Edom.
Edom
is south of Eretz Yisrael, and it's Iraq. Iran. It's I think the Nahar Pros, the Euphrates, runs for several hundred miles. Pardon?
It's through Iraq.
Yeah. So I saw, and I can't remember where I saw this, a confirmation that indeed the Rambam will be mechuluk here with the Targum Unculus as to where this place really was. Rambam knows it's got to be within Edom, and here we can see that the Targum Unculus knows it comes from much further east, next to the Euphrates River. Okay. What was that one? That was Lamed Zayin, yeah? Yeah. Lamed Ches. Vayomos Shaul. Shaul died. Vaynuch Tachtov Baal Chonon ben Achbar. Baal Chonon, the son of Achbar. Now, some strange things here. First of all, let's bring from the Sefer Yosha. He ruled, according to Sefer Yosha, for 38 years, from 2411 to 2449, which is just after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yeah, Baal Chonon ben Achbar, reigning just after Yetzias Mitzrayim, 2448, and Baal Chonon ben Achbar reigning after it. Baal Chonon really means that Baal, which is the name of an Avodah Zarah, Chonon is gracious. So he had this name, Baal Chonon, you know, the Baal God is a gracious God. And by the way, Baal Chonon translates into Hannibal. Baal Chonon is Hannibal.
Yes.
Hannibal, yeah?
Why Hannibal?
Hannibal. But the name Baal Chonon, yes. Anglicized form, is Hannibal.
Hanan
is Hanni. Hanni. Hannibal. H-A-N being corresponding to Ches Nun Nun.
Yeah?
Oh. Yeah?
It's the other way around. Yeah.
Sure.
If you look at Chonon first, it's Chonon Baal.
Hannibal. And Hannibal, I can't remember the history of this Hannibal.
Much later.
Of course. I'm just saying it's the same name. Yeah, and that's brought by the Living Torah, who brings it.
Hannibal was a Roman emperor or something.
They were rebels. Yeah. They were from the Carthage.
Oh.
That's from Tripoli. They rebelled against Rome, but at the time of Rome, but this is way after.
Yeah, way after. Okay, fine, but it's the same name.
Same name.
Yeah. Okay. Now the Ramban asks a simple kasha on this. He says, "What's going on here in our pasuk? Baal Chonon is his name, and he's the son of Achbar." Well, the name Achbar itself is a bit strange, right? Because it's so similar, as you said, Norman, so similar to Achbar, which is a mouse. Very odd name for, yeah? Strange. At any rate, Baal Chonon, the Ramban asks the Kasha, Baal Chonon, who ruled after Shaul? A man called Baal Chonon, the son of Achbar. Says the Ramban, well, where was he from? Here we have, you can see I've left out on this chart, I've left out the name of the place, because the name of the place isn't mentioned, yeah? It says blank there, we don't know where he came from, yeah? The Rambam asks, all the others seem to have place names, but not Baal Chonon. His name is Baal Chonon, and he's the son of Achbar, but where was he from? Not written. Why not? So the Rambam gives two answers. Answer number one is, maybe he came from the same place as his predecessor, Shaul. Namely from Rechavos HaNahar, in which case there's no new places mentioned because it's the same place as the last chap, i.e. Rechavos HaNahar. So that's answer number one given by the Ramban. Answer number two given by the Ramban is that what we have in the Pasuk is the name of his town. The name of the town is mentioned, says the Ramban. And how is it? He is Baal, this king, is the master of a place called Chonon. And his town is mentioned. That's Ramban's answer, that maybe his town is mentioned and his town is Chonon. And this man, this king, started life as a Baal Chonon. He began life as the chief of the town Chonon, and he went on to become king of the whole area. But he started off as Baal Chonon, as the master of the town Chonon. Now, this kasha is a bit, this answer, the second answer, that he was the master of a place called Chonon, Rambam's kasha, the place isn't mentioned. Answer number one, same as the last place, Vechovis Hanor. Answer number two, his place is mentioned. He is Baal, he's the master of Chonon. Now, this answer is questioned by the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva. The Chasam Sofer's Tshuva, where is it from? Let me just get this for you. In the Chivas of the Chasam Sofer, I've got it here. Rav Moshe Sofer, the Chivas of the Chasam Sofer, in Yeridea, Chivas Reish, Samach, Beis. The Chasam Sofer goes into this in some length, as to who this man was, Baal Chonon ben Achbar. And he says, he asked the Kasha on this Ramban. Very nice of the Ramban to say that the name of the place is mentioned and the name of the place is Chonon and he's the master of Chonon. But if so, then his name isn't mentioned. If anything is mentioned, it's his father's name, Ben Achbar. So which is it? What's going on here? You can't have it both ways. You can't say that the name of the man is in the pasuk and the name of the place. It's one or the other. So the Ramban asks, the name of the place is not there, and he answers, the name of the place is there. He's the master of Chonon. Says the Chasam Sofer, but if you're going to learn like that, then the name of the man is not there. Mm. Yeah? So you can't have it both ways. That's the Ramban's kasha. That's the Chasam Sofer's kasha. And the Chasam Sofer brings in his tshuva, and I didn't really understand the tshuva. He's got a whole shaila there. They sent a shaila to the Chasam Sofer along the following lines. They had a Sefer Torah, where the words Baal and Chonon were split between two lines. The Baal was the last word of one line, and Chonon was the first word of the next line. And they sent a shayla to the Chasam Sofer because they weren't sure, should this be written as one word? And if it is written as one word, then what's going on here? It's split between two lines. If the Sefer Torah could be possible, and they had a problem because they were desperate, they relied on that Sefer Torah, and they didn't have any Sofrim who could correct the mistake, so they were a bit stuck.
It was the only one they had.
So they were not sure. It seems to be a bit of a shiloh, which the Chasam Sofer brings. Is it one word, Baal Chonon, or is it two words, Baal Chonon? Is it one word or two words? And if it is one word, then writing on two separate lines is a problem. And he relates it as well to the word Kedor LaOmer in what's called in Lech Lecha, yeah, end of the four kings against the five kings. Kedor LaOmer, is it one word or is it two words? We spell it as one word. The Chasam Sofer brings views it should maybe be written as two words. Likewise, a name like Bas Sheva, one word or two words, these kinds of all the Apoti, Farah, I think is another word that he brings it, one word or two words, these sort of Sofnas Panech, absolutely, Sofnas Panech, one word or two words. Well, in all these cases, we write them as Kedolim, we write as one word, and Sofnas Panech, we write as two words, and so on. But then the Chasam Sofer deals with this, and in his tshuva, he quotes the Ramban, and he answers that maybe we can ratify it. We can say that really he ruled over a place called Chonon. He was the master of Chonon. But why was the place called Chonon? Because his name was Chonon. And he explains, we find this in other places too. Novach, the pasuk at the end of Pashas Matos, Novach Bishmo. Vayikra lo Novach Bishmo. It's the last pasuk, the closing words of Pashas Matos. Vayikra La Vayikra La Novach Bishmo. It's not a Matake. Vayikra La Novach Bishmo. So there's a man called Novach, and he named the town Novach after himself. Likewise in Pashas Bereishis, Chanuch. Vayi Bona Eir, Vayikra Shmo Chanuch. He built a town, and he called the town Chanuch after his own name. Says the Ramban, his name was Chonon, and he called the place Chonon after himself. At any rate, the Ramban seems to favour that it's not the Chasam Sofer. This is Chasam Sofer seems to favour that really it really is written as two words.
Streets in Israel, they name it after famous rabbi,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. Good. Okay, let's move on. We now come to the very strange pasuk here. Pasuk Lamed Tes. Vayomos Baal Chonon ben Achbar. Baal Chonon ben Achbar dies. Vamnuch Tachtov Hadar. And the next king is called Hadar. Vishem Iro, and the name of his town is Pa'u. Vishem Ishto, and now we have the name of the wife. It's remarkable. The name of the wife is Mehetavel Bas Matrid, daughter of Matrid, Bas Mezahov, daughter of Mezahov. Very strange names. What's going on in this pasuk? So the first thing to note is, let's get his years, actually. Yeah, he ruled in the Sefer Yosha, writes that he ruled for 48 years, from 2446 to 2493. Interesting, a bit of an overlap then with the last king, because the last king, he writes, died in 2449. Yeah, and this king, he writes, began in 2446. Okay, a bit of a kasha that. Okay, so what's going on with this king? Why is the wife's name mentioned? So the Balaturim quotes, he really quotes this, I think, from a Medrash, that this king Hadar got into power purely because of his wife. His wife came from a very wealthy background, and she got him into power. So he came into power due to his wife. He was on the throne because of his wife, and therefore she was the power behind the throne, and therefore she gets a mention. Okay, good. Now, what about the name Po'u? So in the Sefer Seichel Tov, quoted in the Shai Aaron, he says that Po'u comes from the word Hufia. Hufia means something like influence. So he said it comes from the word influence. Po'u Hufia. That's how he learns it. Now, let's get to grips with what's going on here with the Shem Ishto Mehitavel. Very strange. Mehitavel, Bas Matrid, Bas Mezohov. Let's start with the Medrash. Medrash Rabbah, it's in Perek Pegimel Ostalad, quotes from Reb Levi. Reb Levi says, what's behind the name Mehitavel? Remember, they learned they were all terrible people. Mehitavel is an expression of Metive Elohos. Mehitav El. They made good quality gods. They were manufacturers of Avodah Zarah, and they obviously manufactured to a high degree. Metivei Elohos, either that, so it means they behaved well towards their idols. So they worshipped idols. Or Metivin Atzmom, Lavodas Kachovim. They prepared themselves for Avodah Zarah. They were steeped in Avodah Zarah. That's how Reb Levi puts it. Or he brings another expression, based on the name Bas Matreid. He says the word Matreid comes from the word Turoyos. Teroyos means a palace. And they set up palaces for Avodah Zarah. Yeah? Is that right? They set up palaces for Avodah Zarah. Ma'amidim Teroyos Avodah Kechavim. That's how Rab Levi learns. Rab Simon, in the same Medrash Rabbah, goes on and says, no, what was going on? The Mehetavel Bas Matreid means they prepared their young ladies for marriage. Got them married off, that's Metivin. Metivin Osam Lavala. Let me give you the quote. Metivin Osam Lavala. They prepared her, a woman for her husband. The Achakach, and after she was married, Tardin Osa Mebala. They drove her away from her husband. So that's Mehetav El Bas Matreid. Matreid meaning to drive, to Tiridah, to drive someone away from someone. So they prepared the women for marriage, got them married, and then they were abducted and taken by someone else. That's how. So Mehitav El Bas Matreid, not a very good people. Another pshat brought by Rav Simon on the name Mehitav El Bas Matreid says that this lady's father was Matreid, and he was a rags to riches man. He started life as Matreid, as a man who was Tiridah. Tiridah means troubles. He was troubled by Parnassah. He had no money. He worked very hard, also an expression of Tiridah, worked extremely hard, made it big, became wealthy, and became known became known as Mezahov.
So, sugar.
Yeah, well, there's a bus. Rags to riches. Bas Matreid started life as Matreid, working hard, yeah, with no money, and ended life as Mezahov. That's why she's recorded as Bas Matreid and also Bas Mezahov. He began life as Matreid and ended life as Mezahov. Mezahov sounds a nice Jewish name, Goldwasser. Mezov, yeah. Rashi, that's how Rav Simon learns. Rashi on the Pasuk learns that Mezahov is an expression of Mahu Zahov. Yeah. What is gold? Yeah. Gold, he was so wealthy. Gornish is gold is nothing to him. Yeah. Mezahov, Mahu Zahov, what is gold? That's how Rashi learns. And in other words, that Mezahov, learning that Rashi, it was not really the name of a father, but a description of the father. Yeah? Her father's name was Matreid, And what kind of man was he? He was a Mezahov man. He was, what is gold? It's nothing. He was so wealthy that gold meant nothing to him. Rabbeinu Bachai learns, Mezahov means that gold was like water.
It's Hadad, who was this very wealthy man.
No, the wife.
Mehetavel, his wife. Hadar. Hadar's wife, Mehetavel.
The right was a wealthy lady.
She came from a very wealthy background. So she's Basmachi Bas Mezahov, yeah? So the Rabbeinu Bachai learns me Zohov is an expression of the Zohov is like Mayim. It's like water. Nothing. Yeah, absolutely nothing. Yeah. Oh, now the Ibn Ezra explains this expression of Mehetavel Basmat Trade Basmezov. Very hard to understand. What's going on here? It looks as though she's got two fathers, daughter of Mached and daughter of Mezahov. And he quotes the Pasuk earlier from chapter Lamed Vav, Pasuk Beis, where we're introduced there to a lady called Oholivoma, who is Bas Ano, Bas Tzivon Hachivi. Yeah, one of Esau's wives. I think, yeah. Esau's wife, Oholivoma, and she is Bas Ano, daughter of Ano, Bas Tzivon, daughter of Tzivon. So what's going on there? It's a very similar expression.
It's incestuous.
Oh, so Rashi there, on that passage, explains that Tzivon was the father of Ano, and Tzivon had a relationship with his daughter-in-law, from whom Oholivoma was born.
Yes.
Okay? So Oholivoma's natural, biological father is Tzivon, but because she was brought up by Ano in the house of Ano and Ano's wife, therefore she became known as Bas Ano. Yeah? So she's Bas Ano, she's the daughter of Ano because Ano would have brought her up, but in truth she's biologically Bas Tzivon, the daughter of Tzivon, who had this relationship with his own daughter-in-law. That's how Rashi learns it. The Ibn Ezra learns there that doesn't learn such a disparaging pshat. The Ibn Ezra there learns that she's Bas Ano, she's the daughter of Ano, and Tzivon was her grandfather. Seemingly that Tzivon, let me get this right. Yeah, that she's the daughter. That's right. Bas. That's right. The Ibn Ezra learns there. Bas Ano. She's the daughter of Ano, and the father of Ano is Tzivon. So she's the daughter of Ano, and in turn she is also the daughter, i.e., granddaughter of Tzivon. So the Ibn Ezra here on our pasuk connects it in. He says the same sort of thing. She's Bas Matred and Bas Mezahov. So maybe Matred was her father and Mezahov was her paternal grandfather, and she is known as the daughter of her father and the daughter of her grandfather. B'nei Vonim Harihim Kavonim. It's a man of Chazal. B'nei Vonim, grandchildren, Harihim Kavonim. They're considered like a child. Yeah, so the Ibn Ezra learns very simple pshat that the father is Matrid and the paternal grandfather is Mezahov. That's how the Ibn Ezra learns. Yeah.
Why do we have this exception? We never get trees. We never get the granddaughter.
Yeah. So why make an exception here? Don't know. Then the Ibn Ezra brings another pshat that maybe. Let me get this right. Yeah, that she is the daughter of a lady called Matred, and her father is Mezahov. In other words, we have both parents mentioned. She's Bas Matred, her mother is Matred, and her father is Mezahov. Yeah, simple chart. That's Ibn Ezra's next chart. Yeah. The Targum Unculus translates this Mezahov as Bas, the daughter of Metzoreth Dahava. Metzoreth means refining gold, which either means he was a goldsmith, not the Jewish name, goldsmith, or maybe he was an alchemist, you know, one of these people trying to create gold from base metals.
Yeah?
So that both of those are given as explanations of this Targum. Yeah, and the Ibn Ezra disagrees with this. The Ibn Ezra, true to style, he calls a spade a spade. He says, the Eile Divrei Ruach. He says, these are words of air. He says, these are empty words. He didn't like this piece of Targum. Pshat. Yeah, it's a name. It's a name, Mezahov. Yes. And he brings the Ibn Ezra to either to paternal grandfather or father while matured is the mother. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Rabbeinu Miyuchas learns what's the idea of this Bas Mezahov. It's the name of a place. Her father's name is Matreid, and she came from a place called Mezahov. Yeah, place called Mezahov. And he relates it to the Pasuk right at the beginning of Sefer Devarim, chapter Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, which has a place there called Dizahov. So he says, if there's a place called Dizahov, maybe there's a place called Mezahov. And she's the daughter of that town called Mezahov. That's how Ben Amiuchas learns. Yeah.
So Mezahov is the name of the town also here. You're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good. Okay, right. We're on the home run. You're right with us, Norman? You're still awake? Yeah. Nearly finished. Okay. The interesting point here is that of all the kings, Hadar's demise is not mentioned. Yeah? All of the others says Vayomos, but not Hadar. So I saw quoted, I haven't seen this inside, that Reb Moshe Chaim Lutzato writes that these eight kings, he writes in one of his Svarim, I don't know which one, that these eight kings are not just eight Edomite kings, but they map out the history of the world. And therefore the last king, is a representation of Melech HaMashiach. And therefore his demise is not mentioned. That's how the Ramchal learns from Moshe Chaim Lutzato. Yes, it's a remez to Mashiach. Interesting. His demise is not mentioned. Right? It doesn't say Vayomos by Melech Mashiach. Yeah.
That's the last one. He doesn't say.
This last one. He's the only one where Vayomos is not written. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a representation of Melech Mashiach.
He will come back and lead us to Mashiach.
He's an Edomite king. Pshat is Pshat. He's an Edomite king called Hadar. Yeah? But the Ramchal learns it's a remez to the history of the world, and therefore it's a remez to Mashiach. No. Yeah. Incidentally, in Divrei Hayomim Aleph, chapter Aleph, Sukkim 43 onwards, all these kings get a mention with just a few different variations. And here, this last king is not called Hadar, but he's called Hadod, with a Dalet. And the Mepharshim say, and I haven't gone into this in detail, that you do find a Resh and a Dalet being a little bit interchangeable. For example, one of the Nesiim is Ben De'uel in one place in the Torah and Ben Re'uel in another place in the Torah. It's the same man with two alternative names. I haven't gone into that, but it's... No, that was another name for Yisro, it was Re'uel. But we're talking about Eliosof. I think it was Eliosof Ben De'uel, whose name is also recorded as Eliosof Ben Re'uel in that place. Dalet and Reish having a certain interchangeability there. Yeah. Now, let me tell you two more things, and then we'll finish. First thing is from a sefer called Kehilas Yitzchok. The Kehilas Yitzchok on here, he notes that through this whole chapter, sometimes we have a name of a father. We normally have a name of a father, and we normally have a name of a town. But on occasion, we only have the name of the king without the name of the father. For example, in Pasuk Lamed Daled, you've got Chusham. By Mechtachtov, Chusham, the name of the father is not given. Other places we are given the name of the father. We're given Yovav ben Zerach, and we're given Belah ben Be'er, but something we don't have the name of the father. Also Sho'ul, in Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Sho'ul, by Mechtachtov, Sho'ul, Mechavisanah, without the name of the father. Likewise, Baal Chonon ben Achbar, we had a whole, the Shaila, is Baal Chonon the name of the man, or the name of the town? So he takes on, the Kehilas Yitzchok takes on the pshat that he's the name of the man. Baal Chonon is the name of the man. His name was Baal Chonon, but the name of the town is not mentioned. So he says sometimes we have the name of the, usually we have the name of the father and the name of the town. Sometimes we have the name of the father, sorry, sometimes we have the name of the man without the name of the father, and sometimes we don't have the name of the town. Baal Chonon, we don't have the name of the town, he learns. So he says, what's going on here? So he says an amazing thing. He says, there's a shaila in Hilchus Gittin. When you write a get, the halacha is you need to write the name of the people and the name of their place, name of the town. Yeah? And if you, if the town has a river flowing through it, then you also write the name of the river.
We have the Kamenetsky. Have you read the book?
No.
He's got a whole thing there about the name of a town in Canada.
Oh yeah.
And he told his Talmidim he had to be very careful because he might have to write a get one day, and they've got to know exactly what river is or something. It's in the book.
You have to know the I've got a photocopy of a get at home. Not unfortunately. So,
exactly which river? I think it was in Montreal. There was some argument about what the name of the river was. This reminds me of this.
Well, someone gave me a photocopy of a get, which is actually quite rare to get hold of a photocopy of a get because the base didn't keep it, but or they cut it up, I think, even. But I've got at home a photocopy of a get, and it says in it, Al Nahar, and I couldn't make out the next word. Tameses. I couldn't make it out. Then I realised it's the River Thames. Yeah? Written in Hebrew letters. Yeah. At any rate, you need.
Did it say London they put by the River Thames?
Sure.
On the gate.
London has the River Thames. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Have no, if you don't put in the River Thames, would it be a postal gate?
I don't know.
It could be,
it
because they're very
metastatic
with getting.
Yeah, it's
got to
be right.
It could
be
a postal
gate.
The town hasn't got a river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
it's
in Arizona or
something. I'm like, okay, it could be possible.
Yeah.
They're very methodic.
Yeah.
Takes a long time to
get it. The woman gets it.
The man gives it to the woman. Then I believe she makes a kinyan on it, and then I believe the beis din take it back from her and cut it up and give her a document to say that she has had a get from that beis din. I think they cut the get up, but I'm not sure.
Is it to say the marriage is torn in half, I suppose? Symbolic, it sounds.
I don't know. Could be, I don't know. At any rate, Shaul Janoglu once told me that he was an aide for a get. Excuse me. He was an aide on a get that his father-in-law wrote. And he said it took hours and hours and hours to write the get, because it's got to be absolutely perfect, nothing wrong, and they have a few, any mistake, you start all over again. And the aide didn't have to stand there and watch the whole get being written. It's not enough just to come in at the end.
Really?
So he stood there, yes, it took hours, 6-7 hours or something to write the get. And
they have to watch the Aedim.
The Aedim need to witness the get being written. Yeah. Anyway, right. So now, the shaila on a get. What happens if you don't know the name of the father? And what happens if you don't know the name of the town?
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Ideally, you put both in. But what happens if you don't know one or you don't know the other?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens if you don't... What should you do? So it's a bit of a machlokes achronim what to do, but it says the general consensus is that you put in whichever is more well known. If the name of the town is better known, then put that in. If the name of the man's father is better known, then you put that in. So he says that in this section, the Torah is being meramis to this halacha. Sometimes, ideally, we put in both, the name of the father and the name of the town. But where you don't have all the information, you put in whichever is better known. So some of them have got the name of the father and not the name of the town, so some of them have got the name of the town and not the name of the father. I'll finish off with one last thing here with a very sweet story. I have a sefer at home called Sifsei Maharash Engel, written by Reb Shmuel Engel.
The Ramadomishla.
That's it.
Yeah, Shmuel Engel.
That's it, exactly. Now, that's a key part of the story, because I didn't know, I could see it comes from Radomishla, but I wasn't sure how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
So I took the sefer in with me to school on Friday, and I showed it to my cousin Yishanos and Freidich, who's one of the rabbis in Powders, and I asked him, he said, yes, he says, it's a sefer written by Reb Chana's grandfather, as you said, right?
Yeah.
Now, here's the Dvar Torah. The Torah says, he comments on Hadar, the last king, not having his death recorded by the Torah. Why is that? That's a whole long answer, which can be summarized literally in a moment, and he summarizes it with a beautiful expression, Sororus Mekaberes Ba'oleha. Nobility buries its owners. And he says, if a king is a king with the genuine needs of his country at heart, then he's a good king and the Torah will not record his death. If he's a selfish king and he's in it for his own self-aggrandizement and he wants to be the big shot, then the Torah records his death. So what happens is we have the first seven kings, all of them it says Vayomos. So he says this last king, it doesn't say Vayomos, because he was a genuine king who had the needs of his country at heart, and he was he looked after the social needs and the economic welfare of his country, and he was a good guy. He was a good king, and therefore his death is not recorded in the Torah. Tishon Kovod. Yeah, of course.
The spirit lives on.
Sort of. Yeah. The death is not... look, let's assume the Malach HaMavos got him eventually. Yeah. But at least it's not written down. Doesn't say Vayomos in the Torah. Yeah? Well, Hadar, meaning beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, another thing. That's another good thing to say about this man. Yeah, they had this name Hadar, beauty. Yeah? Now, so I showed this letter to my cousin, Yishan Nassim Freilich. It was just in break time, and he looks at the Zartera, oh, very nice thoughts, right, fine, goodbye and good Shabbos. 5 minutes later, literally, Rabbi Chanan Halpin came into his room, because he sometimes comes to school on a Friday, and he goes through the classes, and he says a different Zartera in every class, by the way. Yeah, and very often he just, and very often he just asks the class, know what you're learning, and they tell him what's learning, he says, I'll tell you something about that, then he adds to what they're learning. It's kind of phenomenal. I've seen him there. Oh. Yeah.
Well, my father once said to me that Rabbi Chuna can learn.
Yeah,
some rebels, he said, that don't learn such, but the Chuma can learn, he said.
Phenomenal, Tamcha. Phenomenal. Yeah. Posek, yeah. Oh, so Rebbe Chuma Halpin came into Yishan Osman Freilich's class, and he told David Vatura, what's the Vatura, he said? He says, seven kings, it says Vayomos. Eighth king, it does not say Vayomos. How come? And he gave this answer, because this eighth king had the welfare of his country at heart, and therefore the Torah does not record his demise. So my cousin Yishan Osman Freilich turned to Rebbe Chuma, he says, state in the Sifsei Maharash Engel, in the Sefer written by Rebbe Chuna's grandfather. Rebbe Chuna didn't say it in the name of his grandfather, he just says state in Svarim HaKadoshim. No, he didn't say it, so my cousin turned around and he says, Azoi state in the grandfather's Sefer. So Rebbe Chuma happened, he was amazed. He said, well, you learned this Sefer? So my cousin said, yeah. 5 minutes ago, someone was in the room and showed me the Sefer from the Sefer. So you can imagine, Rabbi Chuma Halpin, he was thrilled and delighted. And he says, in that case, I'll tell you one more detail. One of the kings or emperors, and I'm not sure which one, but he said it was Franz Josef. I'm not sure which Franz Josef it was. From Austria. Thank you very much. Apparently, he was very, very friendly to the Yidden. Oh. And on his 50th anniversary or 50th birthday, I'm not sure which, something like that, many shuls held events to be mechabed the king. Yeah? Was he a king or an emperor?
Emperor.
To be mechabed him. Many shuls had an event to give this man covered because he was so good to the Yidden in his realm. So, and apparently on that occasion of this 50th anniversary or 50th birthday, that is when Rebbe Chuna's grandfather said this Dvar Torah, if a king has the needs of his country at heart, then the Torah will not record his demise. Doesn't say Vayomos, because he was a good king. And he related it to Franz Josef to say that there's a good king and he's looking after his people and he looks after us and he should be blessed with every bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
This is the remnant to the king of Mashiach.
Yeah, oh, that's a different shot. That's the Ramchal's shot.
He ties in with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
this king has got something special.
He was something special.
This
king was not a Russia.
Yeah.
So this reference to Mashiach.
Learning how the way Ramchal learned it, Ramesh Chanitzat, that this king is a remes to Mashiach. It's a different shot.
Good king.
Yeah, but don't forget the Poshup shot. Don't get Poshup Shat brought by some, I don't remember where I saw this, namely that the king's demise is not recorded because he was still alive at the time the Torah was given. Yeah, if we learn, like the Ibn Ezra learned, and like the Ramban learned, like the Ibn Ezra learned, that the first king of Nehemelach Melech, the first king is Moshe. Yes, he was still alive, so his death isn't recorded.
Yeah.